The U.S. Embassy's night operator was reading Time Magazine International Edition when the sound of her phone interrupted. U.S. Embassy, she answered.
Good evening.
The caller spoke English, accented with French.
I need some assistance. I was told you had a phone message for me on your automated system. The name is Langdon. Unfortunately, I have forgotten my 3-digit access code.
The operator paused, confused. I'm sorry, sir. Your message must be quite old. That system was removed 2 years ago for security precautions. Who told you we had a message for you?
You have no automated phone system?
No, sir. Any message for you would be handwritten in our services department. What was your name again? But the man had hung up. Bezoufache felt dumbstruck as he paced the banks of the Seine. He was certain he had seen Langdon dial a local number, enter a 3-digit code, and then listen to a recording.
But if Langdon didn't phone the embassy, then who the hell did he call?
It was at that moment, eyeing his cellular, that Fash realized the answers were in the palm of his hand. Langdon used this phone to place that call. Keying into the cell phone's menu, Fash pulled up the list of recently dialed numbers and found the call Langdon had placed. A Paris exchange, followed by the 3-digit code 454. Redialing the phone number, Fash waited as the line began ringing. Finally, a woman's voice answered.
Bonjour, vous êtes bien chez Sophie Neveu,
the recording announced. Fash's blood was boiling as he typed the numbers 454. The Mona Lisa hung on the northwest wall of the Salle des Etats behind a 2-inch thick pane of protective plexiglass. Langdon, now having made it clear to Sophie that he had no intention of leaving, moved with her across the Salle des Etats. Quickly striding the final few steps to the Mona Lisa, she illuminated the floor directly in front of the painting with the black light. She waved the light back and forth across the bare parquet.
There's nothing here.
At that moment, Langdon saw a faint purple glimmer on the shield of protective glass before the Mona Lisa. Reaching down, he took Sophie's wrist and slowly moved the light up to the painting itself. They both froze. On the plexiglass, 6 words glowed in purple, scrawled directly across the Mona Lisa's face. Seated at Sonnier's desk, Lieutenant Collet pressed the phone to his ear in disbelief.
A bar of soap? But how could Langdon have known about the GPS dot?
Sophie Neveu,
Fash replied.
She told him.
What? Why?
Damned good question. But I just heard a recording that confirms she tipped him off.
But, Captain, then where is Langdon now?
Have any fire alarms gone off there?
No, sir.
And no one has come out under the Grand Gallery gate?
No. We've got a Louvre security officer on the gate, just as you requested.
Okay. Langdon must still be inside the Grand Gallery.
Inside? But what is he doing?
Is the Louvre security guard armed?
Yes, sir. He's a senior warden.
Send him in, Fash commanded. I can't get my men back to the perimeter for a few minutes.
Fash paused.
And you'd better tell the guard Agent Neveu is probably in there with him.
Agent Neveu left, I thought.
Did you actually see her leave?
No, sir, but...
Well, nobody on the perimeter saw her leave either. They only saw her go in. I want Langdon and Neveu at gunpoint by the time I get back.
As the Trelor truck headed off on its way, Captain Fash rounded up his men. Robert Langdon had proven an elusive quarry tonight, and with Agent Neveu now helping him, he might be far harder to corner than expected. Fash decided not to take any chances. Hedging his bets, he ordered half of his men back to the Louvre perimeter. The other half he sent to guard the only location in Paris where Robert Langdon could find safe harbor. Inside the Salle des Etats, Langdon stared in astonishment at the 6 words glowing on the plexiglass. The text seemed to hover in space, casting a jagged shadow across Mona Lisa's mysterious smile. Sophie, too, looked baffled in the glow of the message scrawled across the Mona Lisa's face. So dark, the con of man. Just then, they heard approaching footsteps out in the hallway.
Over here,
Sophie said, as she extinguished the black light. For an instant, Langdon felt totally blind. Over where? As his vision cleared, he saw Sophie's silhouette racing toward the center of the room and ducking out of sight. He was about to dash after her when a booming voice stopped him cold.
Arrêtez!
A man commanded from the doorway. The Louvre security agent advanced through the entrance to the Salle des Etats, his pistol outstretched.
Couchez-vous,
the guard commanded.
Lie down.
Langdon was face first on the floor in a matter of seconds. Inside Saint-Sulpice, Silas carried the heavy iron votive holder from the altar back toward the obelisk. The shaft would do nicely as a battering ram. Aiming at the center of the floor tile, he drove the tip into it. The stone did not break. He drove the pole into it again. On the third swing, the covering shattered, and stone shards fell into a hollow area beneath the floor.
A compartment.
Silas gazed into the void. His blood pounded as he knelt down before it. Raising his pale, bare arm, he reached inside, under the rose line. He touched something. A thick, stone tablet. Getting his fingers around the edge, he gripped it and gently lifted the tablet out. As he stood and examined his find, he realized he was holding a rough-hewn stone slab with engraved words. The keystone bore the simplest of inscriptions. Job 38:11.
A Bible verse?
Silas was stunned with the devilish simplicity. The secret location of that which they sought was revealed in a Bible verse? The Brotherhood stopped at nothing to mock the righteous.
Job, chapter 38, verse 11.
Looking over his shoulder, Silas gazed down the shimmering rose line and couldn't help but smile. There, atop the main altar, propped open on a gilded bookstand, sat an enormous leather-bound Bible. Up in the balcony, Sister Bier was shaking. In breathless silence, she left the balcony and raced down the hall to her quarters. Getting on her hands and knees, she reached beneath her wooden bedframe and retrieved the sealed envelope she had hidden there years ago. Tearing it open, she found four Paris phone numbers. Trembling, she began to dial. Downstairs, Silas laid the stone tablet on the altar and turned his eager hands to the leather Bible. Flipping through the Old Testament, he found the book of Job. He located chapter 38. Finding verse number 11, Silas read the text. It was only seven words. Confused, he read it again, sensing something had gone terribly wrong. The verse simply read, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further."